warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles, and let me tell you, the Father Brian O'Brien.
Hey.
The band is back together,
hey.
Gentlemen. The band is
yeah.
back together.
All right. I never thought it would happen.
It's back. Buckle up. We are here today in God's country, also known as Stillwater, Oklahoma. My alma mater. And Father Brian O'Brien's new parish.
My new home.
Beautiful, beautiful home.
I moved here back in mid-January. Mm-hmm. Got the...
Gave us the tour.
Got the call to the major leagues. Got the...
Yeah, big time.
No, I'm just kidding. But I did. I am here. I moved here a few months ago, and I'm the pastor here at St. Francis Xavier.
Beautiful new parish.
Oklahoma. Beautiful new parish. We just dedicated March 11th of 2018.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're still moving in, still kind of getting used to it all. And
not even 1,000 miles on the odometer. Still has that new church smell.
You better believe
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You better believe
yeah.
it.
Yeah, full warranty, still in effect.
You bet. We haven't even finished the punch list, so...
Okay.
So we haven't even given that final check to the construction company.
10%. You guys still, yeah.
Exactly.
Still got 10% down. 10% left.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
So yeah, whatever it is. So if this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, welcome. We do three things every episode. We open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. We highlight a man gear, and we have the most manly discussion on terrestrial radio and podcast world. Welcome. Dave, this episode we're drinking Iron Monk beer, brought to you by a Stillwater Foundry
yes.
brewery. A delicious, delicious beer. Father,
I'm going to open mine now.
I haven't opened it.
I haven't even opened it yet. Father, you are a huge beer drinker, right?
I'm not. I don't like beer. I don't. But they're local.
But you're hanging out with us.
I mean, we're just miles from where this beer came from.
That's true. This beer is Velvet Antler beer. It's an American amber. I love the can. It has big old deer head on it. Big old rack. Let me tell you something real quick.
I'm taking a sip now.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, let's cheers. And
okay,
then I can
cheers.
Tell. Okay, so we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Here we go. Yes.
We didn't even actually introduce the guys here tonight.
The men of the parish.
Yeah, so we're with about...
The most manliest men of the parish.
About 50 to 75 of our closest friends here in Stillwater.
Yeah, somewhere between 50 and 1,000.
Yeah, somewhere around in there.
That are here.
You guys don't know. You listeners don't know. Somewhere between there. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, thousands.
That is a fact.
Dozens.
This beer is it's an amber ale. It's from, like we said, Iron Monk. It's a really nice beer for summertime.
Yes. I love this. There's like a nutty,
yep.
a nutty flavor
Here
to it.
Here we go. Yeah. So I listen every week to the show. It comes on iTunes, usually Thursday night, Friday morning.
Yeah, yeah.
So usually kind of my Friday morning routine while I'm getting ready.
Well, you guys know that Fridays are a day of penance, right?
Yes, exactly.
So Father O'Brien listens to the show on Fridays.
I get up early and I listen.
Yeah.
And every single time you guys take a drink of something and then you go off on this weird and you start talking about, like what you just did, David, you just took a sip of beer and you just said, that it has like a nutty flavor.
You don't get
flavor.
Almonds? You don't get like almonds?
I don't know.
Or something?
There's an almond. No. There's like a nutty.
You both are either totally full of it.
It's pregnant.
Or you have the most refined palates.
My wife would say the former of the two.
Of anyone I've ever met. I laugh out loud every time because you go through, you use words that aren't even words.
I have the best words. All of my words are great. All of the words are great.
it's like pregnant.
All right,
with
so
almonds.
Keep going. What else does it taste like, Dave?
Stand by.
So let him get a little sip.
So far, we have almonds.
It's a little caramel.
I'm looking at the ingredients.
It's like the aftertaste. You think, oh, this is just a nice regular beer, and then you get hit in the face with almonds.
Punches you in the mouth.
It's like a bag of cracked almonds.
With a little caramel to it.
Definitely. Definitely. I'd say...
Kind of an almond.
These are laughing because they agree.
I'd say a mesh bag of almonds.
Yeah.
Not like a burlap bag, but a mesh bag.
I would like to know what the guys from Iron Monk would say.
Hold on. I think I had it pulled up.
I think they're probably brewing it, slapping each other with bags of almonds.
This is getting...
Do you have the description there?
Hold on, I'm getting one right now. Yeah, I'm getting one.
It's good. I like it. And I don't really like beer.
Let me tell
but
you.
But I do like to support the local economy.
Yes.
At the very least. G.K. Chesterton would be a big fan of that.
Yes.
The local economy.
Yeah, supporting your local economy, yeah.
We had good food tonight here, too. That was from a local place, 1907 Meats on Main Street. Shout out to 1907.
Yeah.
Good guys, Adam and Matt. Adam is the owner and Matt is the chef there. Anyway, they do a great job.
Those are some legit sausages, like...
Brats, yeah.
Brats. But they were...
Kind of broady, sausagey.
Was that their essence, Father? Was it their kind broadiness?
That was a real brat, though. Like,
it was good brat.
With a real casing. And it wasn't that fake stuff.
And it's all from Oklahoma.
It's amazing.
All locally.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So on their website, it says...
What does it say?
It says it's a easy-drinking, malt-forward American amber ale. And it says that it pairs well with, which I think is interesting.
With almonds.
Almonds is one. No. Interesting. Beef stroganoff.
You know what? I get it. Yeah.
We should have had that tonight.
Pool halls, vinyl records, and Pink Floyd tribute shows.
Yeah! Oh, dear.
That's literally what it says on their website. I'm quoting that. You can quote me on the quote that I just quoted. It's also only 4% alcohol.
That's what I was going to say.
So it's an easy drinking. It's not.
Yeah.
So IPAs a lot
easy
of times.
Easy to use in moderation.
IPAs, stouts, porters, they have typically have a higher alcohol content. A lot of craft brews in general have a higher alcohol content than, let's say, the Bud Light or Coors Light that you pick up at the gas station. This is a 4% ABV, so it's an easy drink. It does not have that alcohol burner that strong in your face.
I had
face.
A sip earlier because we have some of the Iron Monk IPA
yes.
here. I took a sip of that, and it was
too much for you?
So that one was 10.1%.
Is that right?
Yeah,
it's 10.1.
I only had a sip.
So be careful.
And for being that strong, it was very well balanced because you can easily lose the flavor profile of a beer when you get alcohol.
Too alcoholic.
Yeah, you can. Right. It can start to taste like almost dry, like a wine, or it like burns on the way down. And so you have to be.
I don't know.
I don't know what you have to do. I just know that you have to do something the right way
to brew that beer.
And that is all the wisdom I have for you.
Thank goodness.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dave.
So, Father, you said we obviously know that you've listened to the show quite a few times.
I'm a frequent listener.
You're a frequent listener. Let's talk. I'll let you talk about the virtue of moderation because we try to make sure we do that every first segment because we are drinking alcohol. It's important to talk about that. I'll let you throw this.
Yeah.
One.
So I think there's things in everybody's life that you don't want to go down that road, or you for a lot of guys, alcohol could be an issue. You might make run in your family. It might have been an issue in the past. And so I know I always appreciate what you guys do on the show, and that is you're not. To my knowledge, on any show, you're not lining up shots and
there's no pictures, so he doesn't
there's
know.
There's no. But the goal of the show is not to get drunk. It's right. just to enjoy, in moderation, a good beverage.
Right.
You have one one or two, and you call it a day.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a great example for guys out there just to be able to have one or two. And there's guys who can't have one or two.
Right.
For some guys, if they have one, they have 10.
Right.
And so you can't have the one.
So Father Mike Schmitz just put out a video not too long ago. You actually...
Excellent.
Excellent
video.
Sent
it to you guys, yeah.
Yeah, you sent it to us, and I absolutely loved it, because he talked about wine, but I'm going to use the metaphor for whiskey, because that's we typically drink a lot of... we drink whiskey on the show. But it's an idea of slowing down in today's culture and enjoying the finer things in life and enjoying them for their goodness. So Father Mike Schmitz was talking about, you know, after dinner they stopped, they had this nice glass of wine, but they prepared it. They pulled it out of their cellar. They came up, they cut all this cheese up. They put all this stuff on the, you know, said, eat this cheese and then the chocolate and then the strawberry, you know, and had all these things that you're supposed to do with this wine, but it was because it's such a nice wine. So Dave and I typically do that as well. You're supposed to slow down. You're supposed to smell the whiskey. You're supposed to drink the whiskey slowly, sip on it, enjoy the flavors that it's been 10, 12, 14 years, 20 years that it's been in a barrel, and bring out those tastes. But it's supposed to be because you're enjoying it for its goodness and not for its abuse.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The drinking is all about leisure and enjoying the finer things in life. We're made to rest. We're made for leisure.
Amen.
That's why we do it.
Amen.
So when we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. Hang in there with us. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan and the one and only Father Brian O'Brien.
Great to be here.
We are not in studio today.
No.
We haven't mentioned in a while what is the studio, so I think maybe this would be a good time to do it. Adam, typically we record in one of your vacant upstairs bedrooms.
That my wife so bedrooms, kindly let us take
yes,
over.
Yes, which we call your study, but it's also the studio. Kind of a study, kind of a studio, kind of a studio. It's also where the studs go, so there's that.
And that's why we're here.
Here we are.
Here we are, right here in Stillwater.
Now you know.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Let me tell you something real
please.
Quick.
Please. I cannot wait. Tell me.
Today we had the opportunity to talk to two legendary guests.
Indeed.
We're talking to one right now.
Yes.
The legendary Father Brian O'Brien. But we also got a chance to interview the legendary coach of OSU, Coach John Smith.
It was amazing.
It was awesome. Wrestling, go yeah. Pokes.
Yes.
We talked about discipline, of all things.
I want to punch you in the face every time you say that.
Thank you.
Just so you know.
Yeah. So we recorded that for the Council of Man members. If you were a Council of Man member, you were going to get an awesome interview with Coach John Smith, a guy who has his own wrestling move. I don't know
is
if you
right?
know that.
Mm-hmm.
He has the John Smith single leg.
I also have my own, just nobody knows what it is.
No one should know.
It's a radio show, so we'll never see it.
Yeah.
Bummer.
So before we jump into the man gear really fast, I want to talk about this new thing that Father Brian O'Brien is hosting, and it's a partial indulgence. That's what he's doing.
Mm.
If you guys listen to his new radio show podcast, I think he just got approval that there's a partial indulgence mm-hmm. yeah. attached to
yeah,
so the radio
you,
show.
You have your
imprimatur.
Imprimatur, yes.
No.
I almost said empanada.
That would be
it's
different.
Spanish.
Yeah.
You're really
right,
good at
that's
Spanish.
That's what it is. Same
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you're really
so here in Stillwater, we have a goal here at the parish, and that is nothing less than the evangelization of Payne County, Oklahoma. Payne County covers a good distance. You can look it up on a map. And Stillwater is the seat of Payne County. Very exciting. And
okay. I like how
we got the courthouse, county courthouse is here. The jail is here. All the good things are here. And so the other priest in town, there's two parishes here in Stillwater. One is St. Francis Xavier, where I am. The other is St. John Catholic Student Center, and that serves the students of Oklahoma State University. And the priest there is Father Kerry Wakulich. We've been friends for 15 years. We were seminarians together, and now we're both in Stillwater. He's been here a year longer than me.
Right.
And we decided that one of the ways that we could, and one of the things that a podcast could do, you know, you sometimes you only see your parishioners on a Sunday, Sunday to Sunday, and then nothing, you don't see them in between a lot of times. And so we wanted a way to be able to kind of connect during the week, but also to be able to maybe talk about topics that wouldn't necessarily come up, say, in a homily.
Right.
Something maybe that
you only get like 7 to 15 minutes max, right?
I mean, I'm an 8 to 12 guy.
You're an 8 to 12. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty close.
7 to 12 if I'm, you know.
On fire.
Really hitting it.
Yeah.
7 if I don't have much to say.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, so we thought, let's put this together. So we've been talking about it. Anyway, we got with the local radio station. One of our parishioners is the head of the local radio station. We rented out a little studio time, and now we have a podcast. And it's called Pastors of Payne County.
County, yes.
So we're here in Payne County. We're pastors. That's P-A-Y-N-E.
Yes.
Pastors of Payne County. So right now, we're warming up. It's available on the St. Francis Xavier website. We have a little SoundCloud account.
Give them the website.
And then it's sfxstillwater.org.
Okay.
You can see pictures of our church.
Which I highly recommend.
If you're coming through town, we recommend it.
Yes.
This church, Pastors of Payne, check it out.
Amazing.
Yes. Okay, so let's jump into the gear.
Okay.
The gear today is brought to you by actually Juan Pulsada. He was the one, as we were driving up here to Stillwater, we realized we still hadn't picked out the gear, and so we were kind of debating on what to have, and this is Juan's idea, so I give credit where credit is due.
Yes. So
Felicidades, Juan. He just tipped his hat.
Yes. You guys can't see that because we're radio, but he tipped his hat.
So our man gear today is a religious statue.
Every man should have one.
Every man needs a religious statue.
Mm-hmm. But particular.
Especially a heavy one, you know?
Yeah.
It's better if it's heavy.
We're talking about, like, in particular, the ones that you set outside your house.
Right, but it could be inside. I like inside and outside, but...
Sure.
It's like the Catholic...
Sign.
It's like a sign. So, it's like an inside
it's like
club.
It's the blood on the doorpost.
Right. It's like Passover. Like,
yes,
you know, so it's like...
I can't tell you. I mean, I love it because I can't tell you. A lot of times if I go to someone's house for dinner, and I don't know only Catholics, but most of my world is Catholic people.
Right.
So, the GPS will kind of get you within 3 or 4 houses. Mm-hmm. And then you're kind of like, it's dark and you can't see the letters. No one has like good lettering on their on their curb. Nobody.
Right. Nobody.
And then so you're driving by and you're like, oh, is it this house or is it this? Oh, there's Mary. And then you stop your car and you get out. And because they have a beautiful statue in front of their house, that's them.
They have to be Catholic.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
So I think everybody should have one in front of their house.
I do too.
It's also a good conversation piece. And it also evangelizes the mailman.
Indeed. Indeed. I had not considered that.
Every day when the Postal Service employee walks by your house, their mind is going to be drawn.
See, I tried super soaking him with holy water, but that did not seem to work.
He was really
upset. That seemed to go bad. That was a backwards move. Okay, so I have a Mary statue. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have two, but one of them is on my side table. It's like this big.
We're on the radio.
Yeah.
It's like 2 feet tall.
Okay. Yeah. I'm seeing that. All right.
And it's just on my side table. And I put it there when I got it. And it's like, I just hadn't put it out yet.
You wouldn't put two outside.
Well, I was... So my house backs up to a park. And so I was going to put one...
Oh, you got to do it in the back.
I was going to put one park side. But I just liked it so much, waking up to this huge Mary statue, like... I need to get another one. Right.
That's the answer.
Right. Yeah. More Mary statues.
Exactly.
Right. So anyway, I have one and it goes outside. It's made of concrete. I love it.
Yeah, they're very durable.
Very durable. Right. Exactly.
So recently I just had my siding redone on my house, which was just, let me tell you, a lot of fun.
You did it yourself?
No, I had contractors, but at the end of it, I wish I would have done it myself based off of the contract work. But... The contractors asked me about the Mary statue that I had out in my front
yard.
There it is. And I was like, yes, this is the moment I've been waiting for. Like, do you know that, like, there's, like, you know, the Mormons that come up and ring the doorbells, and every time they do, a lot of people are like, ugh, I'm not going to answer. Like, I yearn for these Mormons.
What's your address?
It's 4505. No. I yearn for them to come because I would love to talk to them. They never come to my house. But it was a great opportunity. What?
They don't go because of the statue.
Yeah, they don't go because of the statue.
Oh, they might.
Yeah.
It repels them.
Yeah.
But sad. They should want to take the challenge.
Well,
Maybe they're physically unable.
They're trying
to get to the doorway and they just can't do it.
But it was a great opportunity for me to talk to a guy who just became a citizen here in America, considers himself Catholic but doesn't go to a Catholic church.
And you invited him?
What
did he ask you?
He said, are you Catholic?
Okay.
And I said, yes, I am.
No, I just worship Mary.
Yeah. Catholics do not do that.
Yeah, Dave.
But he asked me, he said, are you Catholic? And I said, yeah. And I said, I asked him back, are you Catholic? He goes, well, I was baptized Catholic. And I was like,
oh, you're Catholic,
you're Catholic,
baby.
Bud. You were there. And I said,
get thyself to Mass.
Yeah, I said, so I told him about the two Spanish parishes in Tulsa and said, these are where you need to go.
Yep. Nice.
So
All because of the statue.
And he said he was going to go. I don't know. I didn't follow up, but.
You should track him down.
Well, he finished my sighting, so I didn't get a chance to see him anymore. But. At least he knows.
That's awesome. It is. It's a great evangelization tool. Just people driving by, people coming to your door, people coming to your house. It's a nice kind of subtle statement. This is who this family is.
Yeah.
And you take it or leave it.
Here's another one for you that I got to give my man Dave props to. Is how many of you guys have religious statues on your desk at work?
Ooh.
There's a couple. There's a couple hands out.
Nice.
Dave, when you walk
in. I do.
Yeah. Well, you don't. Yeah. Dave, when you walk into his office, Dave's a financial advisor. When you walk into his office, you're not sure if you just jumped into the catacombs or if you're in a financial advisor's office. So.
I went yesterday. I was visiting some parishioners. They work for an oil company down in Cushing.
Right.
Maybe about 30 miles here. And I was just going around the offices, and one of the guys, he's a parishioner here, and you walk into his office, he has a kind of a good size picture of the prodigal son. So like the father embracing the son as he comes back. And then a really good size, probably about a foot tall, maybe 2 feet tall, a statue of Joseph and Jesus right there in his office. So when he's sitting at his desk working away, that's what he's looking at.
Yeah.
Straight ahead. And then when you walk into his office, I mean, you see his desk, and if you turn to the left, there's some really good conversation pieces. So I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
And with the statue, you know, like our homes are they're in a church in a way. The family is the domestic church. And so the domestic church has a sanctuary, and it is the home. And so I think we should take some steps to decorate our houses similar to the way our sanctuary here is decorated. And so, you know, especially if you still have kids at home, it's more than just a statue. You should do other things. That the artwork in your house, is it obvious that you're Christian, you know?
I would say this way, is if somebody came to your house, would they know that you're a Catholic?
Right.
We have a JP2 picture right above our kitchen, and my 2-year-old always says, Dad, there's your friend, as he points to it.
Love it.
It's awesome. So hang in there. We're going to jump into the man topic when we get back. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Sitting here with Father Brian O'Brien, can't tell you how excited I've been all week long to be here.
I couldn't sleep.
My wife was like ready for this event to happen so I could stop talking about it all week long. I've been really excited. Thank you so much for inviting us out here,
Father. You like me more than your wife. That's weird.
No.
That is
sorry,
weird.
Haley.
That is,
sorry,
that
Haley.
Is, that is misinterpretation.
Right, we're glad you're here. We're
Padre,
glad you're here.
How many episodes is this?
This is my third time.
Okay.
Third time on the show.
Good. Good, good, good.
I've been on 2.5% of all shows that you've ever done.
Nice. I can remember it's three or four.
I just did that math in my head.
That's quick math. That is
third show.
Strong mental
we
capacity.
We did one on politics.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Being Catholic and politics. And
yes. Voting.
What was the other one on?
Right before the election.
Yes. Yeah.
So. One of them I wasn't there for.
Oh, that's that right. That was the best.
Yeah. It was so good.
Dang it. That's why. Oh, okay. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Dave. It's good to have the whole.
I journaled about that one.
Yeah. That was awesome.
So this is the next two segments are where we jump into the man topic. And Father, you brought up, because you're a new pastor here, the idea of hospitality within the church as a topic. Which
we stink at it, basically.
Oh yes, a lot of us all do. Right.
Do you mean like broad church?
Collectively,
not like this, not like your parish.
No, I think this parish is pretty good.
Yeah,
this parish. We have some room for improvement.
Uh-huh.
Always.
But I think we're pretty good.
Yeah,
we're pretty good.
So
it's near and dear to my heart as a new pastor. Mm-hmm. And especially because we have a new church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally brand new, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It is a gorgeous building, and we've had a lot of visitors. I mean, so we opened March 11th. We have had hundreds and hundreds of people who mm-hmm. have come just to take a tour, to visit. Many of the guys here tonight are we call them ambassadors. They're like our tour guides.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of people have come, many of them Catholic, and maybe kind of away from their faith, many of them new to town, but also just a lot of non-Catholics
right.
who thought, what is going on in this building? They've been driving by it. They've watched it get built, 25 months of construction.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so it's been a real opportunity, I think, for our parish to really kind of get out of ourselves mm-hmm. and show people what we're all about. So that's one piece of it. And I think the piece that I think is worth talking about is what does Sunday Mass look like mm. at your parish? In terms of hospitality, when somebody just shows up brand new, out of the blue, either they're Catholic and they just moved to town and they know what to do at Mass,
right?
Or
they know the
what
moves.
Happens a lot of they know the moves,
right?
Then a lot of times, what happens? It happens here every weekend, and that is that people who are not Catholic. Maybe they come from another Christian denomination. Maybe they are nothing,
mm-hmm.
but they show up here for whatever reason. They come with a friend. They come by themselves. They've had a rough week. And they're reaching out. They just think the church is beautiful. They show up.
Right.
And the question is, what do they find?
So I think that I heard a speech you actually gave a while back ago at the 40 Days for Life that has like stuck with me for a long time. And I loved hearing. I was really grateful to be there because you talked about being intentional and being an intentional Catholic. And I think this hospitality goes into like. And you have to be intentional about it. You have to wake up, like Coach John Smith told us today, like he had to wake up with a purpose. There had to be a purpose every time he got into the wrestling room. And it's the same way with us as Catholics here, is like there has to be a purpose. We have to be intentional with being Catholic and intentional with welcoming people that we don't know.
Yeah, when you come to Mass, I mean, there's a part of it, of course. We're coming to be fed. We're coming for ourselves. We're coming... So maybe it's out of obligation. I have to go. The church says go to Mass every Sunday, and I go to Mass every Sunday. Maybe we're coming because we want to be a good example for our families. Maybe we're coming because we've had a cruddy week, and I need the Lord. A lot of us just are going by habit. A lot of us are going because we enjoy going. We're passionate about our Catholic faith because we know that Jesus Christ is there, and we want to receive him. There's all kinds of reasons people come. But what I would argue is that we, as a church, and this is true in this parish and hopefully in every parish, that when people come to Mass, they're also coming not just for themselves or for their own family, but with a purpose of reaching out to those who come, so that there's an evangelization even within the Mass.
Mm.
From the moment you drive up onto your church campus, so, you know, I would say one thing that we can do, and it's super easy, and that is... don't park in the front. If you're a regular and you're able-bodied, park far away and let somebody else park up front.
Mm-hmm.
If you come into Mass, and again, if you're able-bodied, if you don't have a small bladder, Sit in the middle of the pew. Don't be the guy sitting on the end and then making people climb over you. Mm-hmm. It's very inhospitable. Now, there's obviously reasons. You may have a baby. Mm-hmm. You may need to have your right leg sticking out because you got a bum knee. You may need to go to the bathroom every 10 minutes. Whatever the reason. Mm-hmm. Fine.
You need to go to the doctor if you got to go to the bathroom every 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. That's
true. Get to the doctor.
But sit on... Okay, fine. Sit on the end. But everybody else, there's a hospitality there of moving to the... I read an article. It was in America Magazine, February 2018. And I have it right here, in fact.
Okay.
It's called Dear Regular Mass Goers, The Seats at the End of the Pew Aren't for You. And I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And basically, this guy, he tells the story of going to a parish. And basically, 10 minutes before Mass, all of the ends of the rows were full. And so when he would go up, he was on time. He came to go sit, and the person, he had to climb over a person to get to a seat. And so what does that say? I mean, fine, he could do that. He's not incapable of climbing over another person. But it's totally rude.
Yeah.
And so he was just talking about this particular parish that he visited, and just he came away from it feeling like that parish didn't really want him there.
Okay, so I want to let's talk about pew sitting for just a second, because I have young kids. And at St. Benedict, where Dave and I both are parishioners, my family has been sitting in the same row for 33 years. Same Mass, same pew, 33 years.
From the altar, front row,
second row on the right, on the left-hand side. If you're looking, if you're the priest position, the right-hand side,
right side, second row,
and I'm third row, just across the aisle to the left.
Correct.
Every week.
Yeah.
What if someone's in your seat?
Although I made a transition when I got married, because now I sit with the O'Briens.
But I think
good for you. Yeah. Good move.
I sit with my wife's family.
The thing about it is O'Briens. That it becomes a ritual. And like my kids now know that like it's a ritual. Like kids thrive on consistency. They thrive on the reason why on Sundays we get up and we dress up is because they know that this is something different.
You guys do dress up.
Yes, we do. And it's intentional.
You guys wear suits.
Yeah, it's an intentional thing because I want them to know that this is something different than every other day of the week. It is something that we do differently, and it's an important thing to us.
What do you do when someone's in your seat?
Oh, no, we don't. That doesn't happen because we get there like
John Smith single leg, right?
Yeah, John Smith single leg. Yeah, I cross-face them.
That's
what I do. Yeah, I rearrange their nose.
Forearm shiver.
Yeah. You know, where the head goes, the body will follow. we get there early, so we don't have to worry about that. But there is something about being consistent that kids thrive on.
I'm with you.
I'm with you. Especially being up in front, so that way they can see. Because think about it, if you're only 3 feet tall, all you see is everybody's backside, if you're in the back. If you're in the front, they actually get to see what the altar boys are doing, what the priest is doing. And so I think that is important.
No, I'm with you, and I really do. I'm not
disagreeing with you on this, by the way.
I think parents, you go where you know your kids best. You know when your kid is in a bad mood, and so you might need to sit maybe towards the back or on the aisle. And so I think the message of at least of this article, the Dear Regular Mass Goers, the seats at the end of the pew aren't for you, is to kind of the rank and file, and that is that we just that we simply have an awareness when you come to Mass, it's not about you.
Right.
It's not about you.
No.
That chances are there's going to be people sitting next to you who maybe have never been to Mass.
Right.
And there's an opportunity there to either be totally unfriendly and ignore them or to reach out. You were just telling a story when we were off air about a couple that you guys know at St. Benedict. They're not there anymore, but when a new family would show up, they would invite them to their home for breakfast.
Yeah.
Now, that is like a radical hospitality.
Yeah. And I think most people say no, like, sir, a stranger danger. I'm not coming over to your house for breakfast. But one couple did come over, and now they're Catholic.
Yeah. So they showed up at Mass.
They showed up at Mass, and they said, hey, are you new? Like, we'd love to have you over for breakfast. And they came over and...
Dave, here's something practical that you need to talk about is what your father-in-law or in-laws did with the pew parties.
Okay, so my father-in-law
Tell me about this.
Brilliant idea.
I am intrigued.
Like, you know, you sit in the same pew every day. And so he wanted to have a pew party where you invite everybody in the two rows ahead of you and behind you to come to your party. And then his idea was that then somebody in the row ahead of you and behind you would do the same thing. So you would go to their party, and you know there would be at their party there's an additional row of people because they are inviting two.
Did
rows
they do
ahead.
This, or is this just an idea?
So they did it. Like he
and,
actually did have
it passed out invitations at mass.
He had like wedding. Actual real invitations, like
not
nice.
Wedding.
No, it's like you know, like not a wedding invitation, but like
cardstock,
a cardstock, yeah. Wedding quality. That's
yes.
What I mean.
Yes,
like actual invitations he handed out at mass.
It worked because my parents did the exact same thing, and it's falling backwards.
This
now.
Is the greatest
so
thing I've ever heard.
If that just like ripples out, then you know, like four pews, and it moved directions.
Where did they get the idea?
It was his idea.
Yeah. I'm in shock.
Yeah,
I'm writing this down.
There you go.
Pew party.
Pew party, don't forget it. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Pew party. I can't believe that.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Once again, I'm here with Adam Minahan and Father Brian O'Brien. We're talking about hospitality and just how we can be better at it. Because I think you're right, Father, that most parishes are bad at it. I think, as a rule, Protestants are better at it, but they have cappuccino, which is kind of unfair.
That's true. We do not pass out
We have the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ.
Right. That's true.
Right, but it's not caramel flavored.
I'll take that. Okay. I'll take
true.
That.
That's true.
Do you know what? There's people who come back to Mass after a lapse. They did a study and they asked, what made you come back? And you know what the number one answer was? I was invited.
Yep.
I was invited
they
back.
They did a survey a couple years ago and it said that it was interviewing like fallen away Catholics. And 80% said they would go back to church if somebody invited them.
Dang.
Amazing.
They still have those people's addresses?
Yeah. Like, no, you should call them up. Right, yeah. Call them up. Well, I think, you know, we're taping this here in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
God's country.
God's country.
Right.
The Midwest tends to be a more hospitable place a lot of times than the coasts.
Sure.
I have found in the 20 years I've lived in Oklahoma is a very friendly, very hospitable. And so I think in this context, we're in a good spot. I mean, you guys living in Broken Arrow, us here in Stillwater, we're like already friendly.
Low-hanging.
It's part of our like nature. Yeah. And
low-hanging fruit.
Right. And so it's like one more step and we'd be just so good at welcoming people. And there's a little thing, just those moving into the pew, reaching out and saying hello, inviting someone to breakfast. Maybe even like, you know, after Mass, you know, maybe you don't invite them to your house, but we have coffee and donuts here in the parish hall. Going and finding those people. Hey, I don't know you. My name is Father O'Brien. Like, what is your name?
Right.
And because there's some people, they come in the parish hall and they just sit by themselves or they sit with each other. When in fact that would be a great opportunity to meet people.
Yeah. It's just so hard to do sometimes. You have to decide in advance you're going to do it when you walk into the parish hall and you have to have told yourself, I'm going to sit with somebody I don't know. Otherwise, you're not going to do it.
Yep.
You know, if you haven't...
Yeah, we're creatures of habit.
Right. And if you haven't decided, like you see that table over there or it's like, oh, there's my buddy. I'm going to go sit over there, you know, because that's easier. It's way easier.
It's more comfortable.
Safe.
Right.
You know, you don't know if those people are weirdos. That's why nobody's sitting with them. You know,
this is the cool table over here.
Right. So.
What do you guys think of name tags?
When?
Yeah.
What if?
I'm okay with the one I have on right now.
I got one on right now. I'm okay.
What
with
if once a month, once a quarter, twice a year, your parish had everybody wear name tags on a Sunday? Yes or no? Gentlemen, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah? Is that weird?
Okay, yeah. If it's not every weekend, I think that's, some churches, that's very doable.
Some churches, everyone has a name tag.
I think if it's every weekend, for some reason that feels too Mormon for me. I don't even know if that's a thing that they do.
But the Mormons are very hospitable.
They are, you know what?
We might learn a thing or two.
They're incredibly nice.
From
it's
my
like
brothers and sisters.
Super nice people.
Yeah.
Two Methodists.
Yeah.
But what about
once a quarter? What about once a quarter?
I think if it's, yeah, every now and then, especially if it's for the people, that it's like, oh, because there's still people at my church that it's like, I don't remember your name.
And so you'd have a little
It's been too long for me to ask you what it is. It's because now it's embarrassing, you know? Right. So I ask my wife and she knows.
Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah. That's my go-to.
That's what spouses are for.
Yes. Yeah.
She's like, I look them up in the parish directory.
Good call, yes.
But our parish directory is like 3 years old. So
what about this idea? I just came to me, so this could be a bad idea, but what if you had a pew that was like a secret visitor pew? And it was like in an obvious place where if a visitor came in even late, they would say, there's an open pew. And everybody, all your parishioners knew, that's the visitor pew, don't sit there. And so if you see someone sitting there, you know they're visitors. Now we can swarm them.
And get them in. Yeah.
Do you know what some churches do? I've not heard of a Catholic church doing it. When somebody comes in and identifies themselves as a visitor, they're handed like a bag.
It has envelopes in it?
And it's bright. No envelopes. Not yet. But it's like bright orange or bright pink or something like that. And it has in there like a coffee mug and a welcome to this church kind of thing. So then you know anybody carrying the bag
is a visitor.
Yeah,
is
but new. With the Catholic Church, the trick is how do you get them to like proclaim on the way in?
Right, exactly.
I am a visitor.
Right, right. And that's why I think there's something to just being friendly to everybody, but also keeping an eye out for, okay, obviously this person does not know where anything is. Obviously this person is like perusing the literature rack, you know, looking at the welcome table, looking for, they grabbed a welcome packet. Okay, that would be a good time for all of us to just pop over and say, hey, can I help you find something?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, no, I'm just new. I'm just passing through town. Hey, and you introduce yourself.
Right.
Invite them to the men's group. Invite them to breakfast at your house. Whatever you got to do.
Yeah. So what I do is I keep track of my immediate surroundings. You know, if someone's in
idea.
One of the, just like, I don't know, if I see someone across the church that I think is new, you know, like, it's like I'm in zone coverage, okay? You know, I can take care of this area, and if anybody sits in my area, I can keep better track of.
And that would be great. And if there's 50 of you, then we got...
Right, and I also have this friend, Chad. He is incredible, like, he will find people and then it's like, oh, you're new? And he'll go find all of us and be like, hey, they're new.
And talk to
them. And he'll like bring us all over there and like talk to him. It's like a gift.
That's beautiful.
It is. It's amazing.
That's beautiful.
He's very good
so
at it.
So I brought another article that I want to recommend. And it's called 16 Tips to Improving Your Parish Hospitality.
Okay.
And it's by an awesome guy named Marcel Lejeune, who is a...
great Twitter
he's
follower.
He's down in College Station, Texas. He runs a group called Missionary Disciples. Mm-hmm. And he does amazing work. Google that article because there's so I'm not going to name all 16, but here's a couple highlights that I'll just throw out. He says, making a stranger introduce themselves to a new congregation is more intimidating than welcoming for strangers. Agree?
Totally agree.
Yeah? Totally agree.
Is that, it's so awkward.
Yes. I was telling you, my family was at a small church where they did this. And like, do we have any visitors in the parish? And everyone was looking right at us because there was like maybe 50 people in the parish. And they knew we were visitors.
And you have a big family.
And we didn't stand up because it was too embarrassing. And they're like, no visitors here today?
No, we were here last week.
Going once? No visitors, sure.
All right, okay. Ask your parishioners to park in the back of the parking lot in order to save spaces up front for guests.
Okay.
That.
Ask parishioners who are able-bodied and don't have small children to sit in the middle of the pew. If you don't get to talk, if you do get to talk to a visitor, invite them to lunch. Nice. Train folks in how to start a conversation with someone new. Good one.
Yeah.
And the last two, If someone volunteers their information, follow up within 48 hours. That's something we don't do all that well.
That's cold calling.
That's
like cold calling 101.
But no, they volunteered their information. They filled out a little card.
If you got information, you know they're interested, you give them a call quick.
And then the last thing, pray for those who are visiting your parish.
Ooh.
How often do we do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody out there right now is going to show up at this parish on Sunday, and they have never been to Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally.
I'm pumped because next week, or this Sunday, there's a guy that's coming to St. Benedict's who's never been to Mass, who started listening to Catholic Answers, and because of Catholic Answers, he's interested.
Is he sitting with you?
He is.
Oh, there we go.
Family.
Nice.
And we're going
good
to brunch
work.
Afterwards. Never met the dude before, so his stranger danger meter is off because he agreed to brunch with us afterwards. But maybe through Mass, once he realizes that I have three young kids, he may rescind the...
He'll sit two rows back.
Yeah, or not go to brunch with us. But we'll
see. I've been to brunch with your family. It's not...
It's terrible.
Another thing that I think is important that kind of never gets brought up in this discussion is making sure that you do the liturgy well. And this is kind of more something that you have control over, Father, is I've been to Mass, different places, and there are some times where I go to Mass where the liturgy is just kind of, you can tell that the beauty of the liturgy isn't valued as much as it is in other places, and it's not attractive. But when you go to like Mass at the cathedral or Mass here, where Father John Grant, I love the way he celebrates the liturgy. He takes time to do the incense if it's, the right day for incense, depending on the celebration for the day. That kind of stuff is just captivating, and it transcends all of the other stuff, it's just one of the elements. It's not end all and be all, but I think that's another important thing.
Yeah, the liturgy evangelizes in and of itself.
Right.
So if somebody should come, they should receive outstanding hospitality, radical hospitality, and then they should come and they should find a beautiful church. They should find good preaching.
Mm-hmm.
They should find good music.
Mm, yeah.
And then they're going to come back.
Yeah, if they leave going like, what was that?
Yes.
Well, because so many people don't know what's going on at Mass, who've never been to Mass, but they know something here is reverent.
Yeah.
There's something sacred about this. I don't know what's going on.
Everybody's singing is really...
There's something that's happened that's sacred here. And sacredness is so attractive. There's today's world, there's very few things that are sacred that's true, good, and beautiful. Mm-hmm. So when somebody sees something that is sacred that's true, good, and beautiful, it's super attractive.
Yeah, totally.
Don't come back.
Yeah.
When you walk into a Catholic church, it's different from walking into Protestant churches. There's a silence. There's a something deep and present. And so, I know what it is,
The Lord.
Yeah,
Jesus.
The Lord.
So, hey, on behalf of Stillwater, thank you guys for coming.
Thanks for the
great invitation. To have you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
At the parish.
It's been a blast.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.